You are listening to Linda Sims. The name of this program is called A Voice of a People, coming to you live from WWGH 107.1 FM radio. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. Another option, you can download on your cell phone, iPhone, laptop, or computer a free app called TuneIn. Now, the app is free. It's called TuneIn. Okay? And search WWGH. One more option, if you'd like to be a part of the show today, you have any questions or maybe would like to make any comments of your own, and it will be live, please call in at 740-383-9944. Don't be shy. Just call in if you would like to ask questions or make comments. 740-383-9944. I need to share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio, 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Now, they have a new announcement coming up, or maybe not new, but they had a cancellation last month, but they are expecting the free produce market to be open this Saturday, August the 8th, 2020, from the hour of 12 noon until 2 p.m. If you are in need of free produce or know someone else who may be in need of it, please share that information with them. Again, it will be held at Logos Christian Ministries, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio, from 12 noon until 2 p.m. Make sure you bring your ID. Make sure you bring your ID. Okay, we also have Inspect Ohio LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 25 years of experience working for you, which is located in LaRue, Ohio, and their telephone number is 740-262-0939. I'd like to start my show off with a thought for today, and it's titled, A Language of Trust. And it goes on to say, to create the future we desire, we need a spiritual language. We must speak from the heart and in the language of the soul. A language of trust, faith, and higher values of inner growth, love, and listening. Most important, listening. Learn to listen. Speak less, listen more. That's something I have to tell myself every day. So hopefully that will help you as it is helping me today, okay? All right, now let me turn my attention to my guest today, Tim Jones. And how are you today, Tim?
I'm doing well.
It's good to see you.
Yeah, you as well.
Glad you made it through the rainy weekend.
Yeah, it's been crazy. I was out in the rain a lot, so. Yeah, I'm over the rain.
You're over it already, yeah.
I wish I didn't pray for it, but I'm over it.
Okay. Yeah, I, long as I've been living in Marion, I've never realized or heard of so many funnel clouds. There was like three funnel clouds. What was that, yesterday or day before? Before that, there was a couple of them. The sky is all black. Why is it so dark?
I don't know. The season's, right now, we on what, in hurricane season? I don't know. The calendar's so messed up in my eyes that I don't think we truly know what season we in. And, I mean, that's, to me, is biblical. But, you know, he said there's going to be a time where you ain't going to be able to tell the seasons apart. So some days it feels super, super nice. Other days I feel like we in a wet spring season. And, you know, other days it's too cold, you know. So I have no idea. I just take it one day at a time.
And you're right. It is biblical. We will not be able to tell summer from winter and winter from summer. And here we are, right? And now I'm having trouble with knowing when it's daytime or nighttime because it's so dark. All day sometimes. It's just dark out. I don't ever remember experiencing day like that. You know?
No, me neither.
These are some of the darkest days I've ever seen.
Yep. Wow. Sometimes the earth is in sync with the people. The people in sync with the earth. And since I feel like, my opinion, I feel like the people off, the earth is off. It's harmony, you know, it's all energy.
Yeah, that's true. You may have a point there, because it said we're all, what does that scripture say? We're all crying and yearning inside for the manifestations of the sons of God. We're all waiting for the Christ to come back and split the sky and settle all these things, but we want to be ready too, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Woo! Yes! Okay, now Tim is a recovery consultant. He deals with people, drugs and alcohol, or recovery from yep. drugs and alcohol, okay? Yep. And I want you to talk a little bit about that, and then I want you to, we're going to go and talk about how Earlene Baskin Hatch impacted your life.
Okay.
But during your, I mean, as you go about your daily, what can I call it, career, your recovery consultant, do you interact with those recovery? Have they already recovered, or do you initiate with them an early intervention? Maybe as soon as they come in the door.
Yeah,
you know?
Some as soon as they come in the door. You know, some of them been in a program for a while, and you know, the key thing for me, what I ask them is, you know, you've been here for a while. What do you want from the program?
Right.
What are you trying? What are you looking for? You know, and a lot of them say something in general. I just want to, be clean or recover. I'm like, okay, well, you already know what to do. You know what I mean? Because the answers is already in you. You know what you have to do in mm-hmm. order to be clean. You know what your recovery looks like.
Right.
Right. So I tell them there's nothing new that I'm going to necessarily tell you, but when I'm going to help you, I'm going to help reprogram your subconscious mind, and I'm going to help you, I'm going to help support you and guide you in this process, because sometimes that's what you need. You need somebody to hold you accountable. You need, sometimes we all need direction, even if it's to find ourselves.
Oh, every day.
So, yeah, so that's where I'm at with that. So, you know, some of them I work with, you know, from day one. Some are new to the program, but some kind of seasoned.
Have just been there a while, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. And what do they do? I mean, what does their day look like? Do they live on their own, or?
Some, it just depends. You know, some, I think the biggest part of recovery is getting away from people, places, and things. But a lot of times what happens is, what we see from the pattern that I see is, a lot of them have ruined a lot of relationships with family and possibly mm-hmm. close friends, you know, because when we're stuck in addiction, we get real selfish.
Right.
Right. And so what are they doing? They're either couch surfing or they're staying with somebody else who's using drugs.
Oh, okay.
And so how can you work on your recovery or become clean when you're going back to that environment? You're not strong enough to be around it yet.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you haven't built up a resistance, you know, so... yeah, so I look for alternative ways and how to bring them up out of that environment, you know, those type of things. Looking for solutions.
Right.
For solutions, you know, because a lot of times what happens is they want change, but you keep doing the same thing. And you're going to keep getting the same results. 1 + 1 = 2, you know. So if you want to change, you want better results, change your choice.
Mm-hmm.
And then also mm-hmm. change, on top of that, you change your choice, and that turns into habits and right. behaviors and right. all those type of things. So.
Right. They call that insanity.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. By definition, we're insane.
Right. They call that insanity. You know, you want different results, but you keep doing the same mm-hmm. thing, so you don't move that way.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I thought about that and wondered about that, because we all, like you said, we all deal with different things in our life that we may be trying to... grow from or get from up under the pressure of certain things in our lives that we don't like. And I do understand that change is hard, but change is necessary, right?
Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily hard. It's just uncomfortable.
You know, uncomfortable.
You think about, you did this for XYZ years, the mm-hmm. same routine, whatever it was, and then all of a sudden you wanted to stop. No, it's not going to work like that. You got to replace it. You got to, same steps it took for you to get into the addiction, because you're way back here.
Right.
It's going to take you. You got to catch up to that timeline and then start moving forward. So it takes time.
Yeah.
It takes time.
So how's that going for you?
It's going real well. Them? The ones who listen, the ones who practice the advice and all that, they're doing well. You know, and good. The ones who still in the scapegoat type mode and I don't want to say pity party or anything, the ones who continue to do the same thing.
Excuses.
Are not doing so well, you know.
Wow.
But,
right.
But they have the opportunity to, you know, and they just have to do it. I tell them every day, I don't have this pen. It doesn't have no more magic in it. So I can't do it for you.
Wow. Yeah. So if that was the case, we'd paint our own pictures mm-hmm. all the time, right?
Absolutely.
And just move on with our life to the better. Yeah. It's it can be a complicated thing. Mm-hmm. But like you say, you got to work. Yep. It takes work.
That's it. Simple as that. Working towards it. And then, you know, I kind of tell them, like, our brain likes the default to what it knows, right? Because mm-hmm, your brain mm-hmm. is smart, looks for solutions. And I kind of give you an example. I had an individual, they came to me, and they was like, you know, I want to use so bad, you know. But, you know, I came here. So you think about it. You remember when you was a kid, probably in third grade, second grade, middle school, probably about elementary, your teacher would make you make this web, you know, so you have the idea, and then you branch off. Mm-hmm. A lot of that stuff. So that's sort of like how the brain is. So sometimes you only have one way. So
true.
So for her, it was every time I felt a certain way, because she's feeling a certain way. She's, mm-hmm. You know, every time she felt this way, she would go use. You know, every time she would get into this emotional state,
right,
cause her to use.
Okay.
Right. So the brain, that's the set. The brain is like, okay, we feel this way because it's looking for a solution. Hey, we feel this way. This is what we do to mm-hmm. not feel this way.
Right.
We feel this way. This is what we do. Feel this way, this is what we do. But now she changed it slightly because she came to me this time.
Good.
And we had a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards she left, she felt great. I said, listen, now you have two options. See, all we're doing is building up alternatives. Mm-hmm. We just added another thing to the web.
Right.
You feel this way. Now that you know, when you get to feeling this way, you can have somebody talk to you. You can come here a couple times throughout the week, or you can reach out to me, whatever it may be. You know, but that's another solution. Mm-hmm. So the brain is going to say, okay, you got this, you got this.
Right.
And then she might have find another alternative. And now she got three, you know, and then so on, four. And then that one thing might become super distance of, oh, we feeling like this and we go to the drugs.
Right.
You know, so the brain might default. It's like, okay, we got all these other options instead of going to that one.
Right. So. That's just like going to get that piece of cake mm-hmm. or that piece of candy. Mm-hmm. That you don't have any business getting, you mm-hmm. know. I look at that the same way because we all have habits, you mm-hmm. know, that
yep.
we don't want to stop
yep.
or get rid of. But some of them we have to let go.
Yep.
We have to let go so we can move on and be healthier.
Yep.
And I know this is all about health, isn't it?
Healthy lifestyle.
Yes, yeah, healthy lifestyle. Well, you seem to be great at what you do, and they're lucky to have you. They're
okay.
blessed to have you as a consultant because there's, I guess, people say there's all kind of ways to reach people.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you come from a biblical standpoint, mm-hmm. and I think that's one of the better ways to meet people.
Absolutely.
If they give God a chance.
Absolutely.
You know?
I think, honestly, everybody need to have something higher than themselves to believe in.
True.
That's the start.
I agree with the same thing because I can't do anything without the Lord.
Yeah, me neither.
I have to encourage myself every day in the scripture. If it's only a line or a word, I have to have something. And if I leave home without it, then I feel I left something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't feel complete.
Yep.
So, yeah, that goes for all of us, you know. It just really does. Okay, now. And good thing you listen to her because you know where she's at.
Mm-hmm.
You know exactly where she is and where she needs to be. So she's on her way
mm-hmm.
to coming out of this. Praise God. That's
yep.
that's beautiful. That is beautiful. Now I want you to talk to us about how Erling Baskin Hatch impacted
mm-hmm.
your life and helped led you to be the man you are today.
Just honestly, growing up in the church, you know, growing up in Mays Temple, also going to Christ Missionary, you know, with my grandma Bailey, Dorothy Bailey, you know, so I kind of always had the church background, so we always kind of have running into, but it wasn't, I think it wasn't until probably my teenage years. She's always kind of come around. Mm-hmm. And Sister Ash can be, she's real bold. Mm-hmm. And sometimes for some people, if you don't know her energy, that can kind of scare you in a sense or turn you away from her. But the thing I really enjoyed and the thing I really loved about her was she was real, that boldness to come up and speak to you. And she wasn't afraid to talk to you about God. And she wasn't afraid to ask, was you saved or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And for some people, that can be an uncomfortable conversation.
True.
But, you know, still, she would do it anyway. And it was because she cared. It wasn't like she was trying to get church numbers or anything like, you come here. No.
Right.
She wanted you to get rooted in the Word. And she wanted you to know who God was because of her beliefs. And
yes.
She would come and get me, and I think our relationship started when she's like, hey, son, that's what she would call me, hey, son, you know, help me get this, and help me do this, and I would, and while helping her, she would talk to me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? She would talk to me, and she's just giving me game, as a young child, giving me game, and when I say game, I mean guidance.
Making you think, didn't she?
Yeah, making me think, and just challenging my mind and those things, and I was like, you know, maybe this woman ain't so bad. You know, I like Sister Hatch. You know, she talked to me.
Right.
She wasn't, you know, and she was guiding me. And because she cared.
Right.
She cared. And, you know, she know a lot of people's family. So she'd be like, oh, you Barbara Fags boy. And she'd call my mom's maiden name. Oh, you Barbara Fags boy. And your grandma, yeah, Clinton.
She'd go all the way back down the line, right?
And so, you know. Like, she knew your family mm-hmm. and all that. And it was just good having her around.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And I think it's good because I feel like she treated everyone the same.
I think so, too.
It wasn't no different. She's still going to come to you in that boldness. And she's still going to help guide you and all that. And that's one thing I miss about the elders in this community is just, you know, have a conversation with some of the young people. You don't know how you're going to impact our lives until later on down the line.
That's so
true.
Because
we'll remember those conversations. I remember a lot of those conversations. I took them with me.
That's beautiful. That is so beautiful. And I've heard people say, that woman don't have good sense, but people don't understand. That woman had degrees, you know. Mm-hmm. She wasn't
very
dumb.
Smart.
Yeah.
She was very smart.
And very money smart, too. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
You know, she did. And her husband, mm-hmm. he was the, CIO of, what was that, Quaker Oats?
No,
the plant
nice.
Out
I
there.
Know
yeah. He was a CEO there for a lot of years, you
wow.
know. And she was a teacher, and she was a nurse, RN. And so, and
very
she
diverse.
Just, yeah, very diverse. Mm-hmm. And she just had the Lord,
yep.
you know, which helped catapult her through her life and through the lives of other people, and especially young black men, because she realized that they were treated very unfairly. And if they didn't get that ground up,
mm-hmm.
Foundation, you know, it's hard for a black man to maneuver through society.
Yep.
No matter how people want to play it down, but it's true, it's a fact. You know, even before they get started, they already, you know,
count it out.
There you go, count it out of the game already. So, and she was aware of that,
yep.
and she did all she could for black men and young women too. Now, mm-hmm. it just wasn't like you said, one sided. But she really had a heart for black young men in this city. She loved Marion, Ohio.
Yes, she did.
Yep. She loved the city. She loved the people here. And and if you didn't like her, she didn't care.
Yeah.
She didn't care. She said, go sit down and get some sense.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, yeah. We've had many, many sessions of talk. I used to go to her house and have coffee, and she'd talk to me, and we have Bible study in the morning. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, though, like you say, it's hard to run across someone that doesn't have different intentions or the wrong mm-hmm. intentions towards you, but only want to see you grow
yep.
and prosper.
Yep.
You know, she didn't care how great you was. She wanted you to become great.
Yep.
And that's exactly what we need. We need more of that
mm-hmm.
in today's society. Yep. Yes. Well, Mother Hatch, next time I talk to her, I have to let her know that you were on the show and that she really impacted your life, and We've talked about it, yeah. You know, we've talked about it. And I know it just wasn't your life and my life, many lives.
She came across a lot of people.
Yes. She wasn't scared to talk to the sheriff, the mayor, the governor. It didn't make her any difference, you know. And she would tell them exactly what she felt. Mm-hmm. And she went, what she had to say went a long way.
Yeah, it did.
They would listen, you know, because she just had that way about her. You had to listen, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
You had to listen. So hats off to you today, Mother Hatch. Take care. Be safe and remain healthy. We still need you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Now, do you, and I was going to ask you this, but you did already share that with us. What tools do you use in your approach? Is it just words of wisdom from the Bible? Do you use any flashcards or anything like that?
It's funny. I use simple analogies. Like, I don't know where they come from, but I try to break it down to people in a way to where it's so simple that you can't miss it. Like I think about almost as if I'm talking to a child. Like, and I try to break it down in very simple, simple terms, you know, and people get it. They're like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. You know, just like I tell people something real simple. I say everything in nature grows to its full potential except for humans. Reason being because we have a conscious mind.
Right.
And how I kind of explain that to them, I say a flower, you'll never get a flower that grows out the ground and just has two leaves and say, I'm cool with that. You know what I mean? It's going
right.
to grow as tall as it can. It's going to be as radiant as it can. It's
true.
Going to be as vibrant as it can. You know, a tree is going to, its roots is going to go deep into the earth as far as it can, and it's going to be as wide as it can, as high as it can, as big as it can. A mountain's not going to just be a little molehill and say, that's cool.
It's, true.
You see other mountains, it's 2,000 feet. I'm going to be just as tall.
Right,
you know, but
right.
humans, because we have a conscious mind, we can level out. In a sense, instead of level up,
mm-hmm.
or we can set limits and limitations. And this is why people get stuck in life, because you're not moving forward. We have to move forward. We have to grow. Everything wants to grow. Your emotions, the reason why somebody can make you mad and you want to be mad all day, you're going to be mad all day if you don't know how to transfer it or transmute it, meaning transfer it, meaning I send it to somebody else, or transmute it, meaning I completely changed it. You're going to be mad all day because it wants to live. So it's called an emotional state, a state of well-being. We live in the state of Ohio. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it wants
I do.
To live. Your emotions wants to live. That's the reason why if somebody make you mad, you're mad all day. Oh, well, Tim did this and blah, blah, blah. And the next person, hey, how you doing? Well, I'm mad because Tim did this.
I mean, no peace all day, just right. mad and angry. And, mm-hmm. and it goes over and over in their mind and, mm-hmm. and they just get angrier.
Yep. And so you gotta protect yourself. Like I teach them. I say, okay, if you come into my office and let's say I say something to make you mad, and you took it home with you all day. I said,
right.
but there's a way to transmute it. If you know that's not my character, and you come into this office and I said something that's out of character or whatever it may be, a lot of times you'll go, hey, Tim, what's going on? You don't normally act like that.
Right.
Boom. Hey man, I had a bad day, man. This that and that happened. Literally, you just transmuted that energy just by asking me, hey, you acknowledged that something was going on, and then you allowed me to even elaborate on it. And so now you didn't even take it personal. Oh, yeah, I had that type of day the other day. You know what I mean? Did we laugh about it or something? But that's how you transmute the energy. You got to change it.
Or transmute or transmit. That means mm-hmm. put it on somebody mm-hmm. else.
Well, yeah, transfer it. Like you didn't allow me to transfer that to you.
Right.
You know what I mean? I transmit it either way.
Right.
You didn't take it home with you. So.
Wow. Do I know some people who deal with anger? Mm-hmm. And it's like, I can't deal with this. mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I don't know how
yeah.
to deal with it.
Well, people got to think like this. Anger is weird. It's uncontrolled energy, right? So if you see a transformer blowing up, are you going to run towards it?
No.
Absolutely not,
no.
because it's chaotic.
Right.
You don't want to get hurt.
Right.
Same thing with anger. You know, now, let's say we got controlled energy, these lights. So if you go flip that switch, you're going to shut the energy off, but it's controlled. It's being directed.
Right, right.
Directed to the lights or whatever it may be. So I tell people you have to become, you have to develop self-control. Self-control is something that's learned. You have to learn, because it's so easy to default to anger. It's so easy to default to being mad. Like my daughter, one time, short story, we was in the car, and I was talking over, and I was doing it on purpose. Every time she tried to speak, I'll say something.
Right.
And then she was like, "Dad." I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "You're making me mad." I said, "No, you're not mad, because when you're mad, you no longer have no control.
Right.
You lost all self-control when you're mad." I said, "Now what I'm making you is frustrated. I'm frustrating you."
Right.
So she need to understand her emotions, and she need to understand how to articulate it. Right. So I said, "Why am I frustrating you?" She said, "Because every time I'm trying to speak, you speak over me."
Right.
I said, "Okay, that's what's frustrating you. Do you see how she was able to articulate her feelings and emotions and not just default to I'm mad?" And so now, I even do it now. Now when I do it, and she'll say, "Dad, you're frustrating me." And I know exactly what she means.
Right.
Because she already, we already went through it. So emotional intelligence is something that I also teach people in recovery. You got to understand your emotions, because sometimes your emotions will also override your logic, your reasoning, and your judgment. And if you don't have those in check, then you'll see it every time. People be in bad relationships, abusive, mentally abusive, emotionally abusive, all this other stuff. You have every reason to leave. You know it's not a good, from a judgment standpoint, you know it's not a good relationship.
Right.
All this other stuff. But guess what you hold on to? A feeling of love. A feeling. Oh, I love him. I'm hoping he'll change. I love her. It's not going to change. It might. They have to change. But...
They have to want to, right.
Yeah, but we allow it to override. We allow that love emotion, whatever it is, that chemical imbalance in the brain.
Another emotion.
We allow that emotion to override the logic. Because everybody see it. They're like, "Yo, that's not a good relationship." You know
right,
it's not.
Right. You're right. You know. Mm-hmm. When you feel it, you feel these things. Like you say, we have a conscience, and our God is emotional, so we can't get through a life without having emotions, and we know good emotions when we have them, and we know bad, and it's like, okay, do I want to continue to go with this, or am I out? Right. And I think that is when you see a person that really doesn't want to change, know, because you can say, well, why is it the only word you know is mad? Not angry, like you said, frustrated, disappointed. There's all kind of names or words you can use to classify what you're feeling, right? Why is mad the only word some people know, right?
Yeah, we default because it kind of gives you an excuse to do whatever, But when you really tell a person how you're really feeling, as far as when you really identify the emotions, well, that opens up a conversation now. A lot of people don't want to have a conversation. You're disappointed. Why are you disappointed?
Right.
Because, boom, 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 boom. Now we're starting the process. But if you can just say you're mad, I'm mad. Shut down. I don't care. Don't talk to me.
It's over, right?
Yeah. Because that's usually what happens. I don't want to talk.
Oh, I'm wow. Wow. I guess that's why I have you on the show. you have so much insight on different things. And emotions is what we're going through now with the COVID. People are frustrated. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to expect. Well, what they're saying, is that right? Is that real? Do we really need to wear a mask, or do we don't need to wear a mask? We know people are dying, but how many people are not dying that have, who have contracted the disease? And many more have come through this and survived it.
Absolutely.
But do we need to close our state down again? You can't go in this store without a mask. Or, it's like, okay, is this ever going to end?
Right. Yeah, and it's kind of hectic. It's tough. It's tough. There's certain places that get hit hard. Working with Dr. Mark Piacentini, one thing I love about him, he works at a bunch of nursing homes and rehab centers. And so he sees it firsthand. So, like, for me, if I was running the show or whatever and I'm making the rules, like, those places with the elderly, protect them. Go in with masks. Make sure they're sanitary. All that good stuff. Because if some of these people, you got to understand, even speaking with Dr. Mark, if some people don't have the will to live, right? So when they get it, it's tough. They're probably going to die. You know, but the ones who do have a will to live will overcome it, right? And the way society is right now, can't nobody visit anybody because it's a protective thing. But you got to think about this. The elderly, you need to visit the shut-in, right?
That's
You need to. And it's funny because they love it. You know, when somebody's sick and you go out and visit them, that really means a lot.
It really means a lot.
Just, I don't care if it's just 5 minutes, just showing your face. Because in a sense, nobody want to die alone. Don't nobody want to feel forgotten or anything like that. And so when they put up this rule for families can't see, you know, the loved ones, that probably made a lot more tougher on those people who are already having a tough time, who doesn't necessarily even want to be in a nursing home or rehabilitation center or whatever. And I'm gonna give you an example. It was like a couple of weeks ago. I went to see my aunt, and she was out there in Heartland. We can't go in, but I guess you can go to the window. And they got her little.
I heard that.
They got a room number on the window, so I creep up to the window, and the blinds are shut. And as soon as I get up to the window, the nurse opened them. So I'm looking like a creep in the first place. I'm looking like a stalker. And I scared the mess out the nurse. I'm the first face she sees, and she's not expecting it. But my aunt was really excited just that I stopped by and just to check on her. And I told her, I said, hey, you listen to these nurses, you know, don't give them no hard time. And I told her, I was like, I'm coming to break you out, you know. I said, but you got to get better first, and then I'll break you out, you know. But she sent me a message the next day on Facebook and said she just really appreciated it and she really enjoyed it. And that's
good.
And that means a lot. And I think that opened up my eyes when my guy, Mike Jackson, he was in a coma a couple of years back. And he said, he just told me this recently. He said, man, you don't even know how much it means to me that, he said, when I woke up, he said, your face was first face I've seen, you know. And I didn't think that was a big deal, you know what I mean?
Right.
Even through these years, like, we never even necessarily spoke about it, but it was a huge deal.
It was a huge deal.
And, you know, I've never been in a coma, you know what I'm saying? So I can't relate, but I've never been hospitalized, right? So I can't relate to feeling alone in the hospital. So now I try when people are sick, I try to go out and at least show my face and say hi and
that's good.
Their spirits, because it's important.
It's very important. I was in the hospital. My lung collapsed. I was in there for 9 days. Oh my gosh! And I was out for 3 days, so I didn't remember anything for a while. You know, and I was crying. I didn't think I was gonna ever get out of there. Even though, you know, my family would come every now and then, and I really told them off the first day I came to myself, no one's been out here to see me. Oh, they were so upset. Well, Mom, we've been here every day, all day, and, you know, my parents were there, but it was just the fact that I was there and I didn't know anything, you know, and it's like, if he was in a coma and opened up his eyes and saw you, I can imagine how he felt.
Yeah.
You know, people come by, Mother Mays would come by and pray for me, and another lady, Frankie Bird's mother. Do you remember her?
I think so.
She used to live right there on Van Buren Street. She was a little tiny lady, too, and she would come and pray for me every day, and I remember her, just like you remember Mother Hatch. Yep. She would come in there and pray for me. Yeah, and I appreciate it. And now when I see them, I tell them about her. I remember her, how she did, and it just helped give me encouragement, you know, that I was going to get out of that place.
Yeah.
Because 9 days, to me, was an awfully long time. So we do need one another.
Mm-hmm. We do.
No matter, you know, we may think, okay, I can ace this on my own, but like you said, God made us to be relational in relationships.
Yep.
You know, and that we can be able to relate with one another and not just sitting there by yourself like an island.
Yeah.
No good.
This is a terrible thing. It's a terrible feeling.
And then you can be there by yourself and you're pushing everybody away that's trying to
be relational with you. Sometimes we have pity parties. You know, when we get into a situation or something happens, we all do it. with old pity party, old me, old my, and then we scapegoat everybody else's fault.
Right.
But when I do that, I set a timer. I'll set 5 minutes, 10 minutes on my phone, and I'll
have
throw
your
that
pity party.
And then when that timer go off, it's time to move forward.
Oh my!
It's something you got to practice, because if not, you'll get stuck in that mode. You can get stuck in a misery, because pity parties turn to misery.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can make you miserable.
And you make other people miserable that's around you.
Because you're pushing them away. And
right.
You feel what you feel. You know, you're going to say how you feel. And, you know, people don't like negative energy. It sucks. That's what negative energy does. It literally sucks the life out of you. That's what it's supposed to do.
Yeah, I guess so, huh?
Mm-hmm. It's like a
battery. Negative, right?
It's negative. It sucks the life out of you. Positive energy feeds.
Give you life.
Gives you life.
Whoa. Boy, boy, boy. I went to school today having you here. I mean, hopefully those of you who are listening are enjoying Tim Jones. He is a young man of a wealth of information and knowledge and wisdom. And we're talking about emotions. Mm-hmm. And I know we all have them, you know, and how to deal with different emotions. Mm-hmm. You know, that anger thing is something else. And what about suicide? Have you ever dealt with anyone who had ideas of killing themselves?
Yeah, it was a crazy story. One of my guys, I ain't going to put his name out, but I lived on Clover Street. Mm-hmm. And he never, ever came to my house. Ended up driving in my driveway, and I remember I was looking out my window, and I told my son's mother, I said, hey, I'll be right back. I'm going to go outside and talk. And I'm speaking. We in a car. And I noticed his body language. He's looking down the whole time and mm-hmm. all that. And then we just got to speaking. And for some, I prayed for some reason. I said, God, you know, let this be your words and not mine. Because I didn't know why he was there, you know.
Right, right.
And when we spoke and we kept speaking, and obviously God was moving, working, whatever. Because he went from being down, not looking, you know. And then we kept talking. And then he got more conversational and all that. And I remember he used to date my cousin, and after he left, she contacted me, and she said, I don't know what you said to him. He said, but I've been trying to do for years. And he told me later on, he said, I don't know why I came to your house, man. And he said, I don't know what led me down your street or why I even stopped in your driveway.
Wow.
He said, but I was going home to kill myself. But
whoa.
You never know.
No.
Like, you never know what people are going through, you know, and that's why conversation. I just knew his body language. I just knew he wasn't himself. Like,
mm-hmm.
But he didn't display. But like I said, the more and more we talked, the more life came into him.
And that's something.
You know, so, yeah, I guess I dealt with
something.
On the verge of suicide or whatever. But we need conversation. That's what people don't understand. Like, a lot of times recovery, these people don't have nobody to talk to. You know, and so when they come in, you know, they're like, I can't wait to talk to you.
Right, right.
I can't wait to talk to you, because people need to decompress. We need
right,
to de-stress.
Right.
All throughout your week, you're compiling and compressing, you know, negative stuff on you,
mm-hmm.
and you need to just talk. People just need somebody to speak to, you know, and sometimes just talk and general conversation can be so much more than general conversation.
Wow. I guess so. Mm-hmm. I don't know why that I wrote that down about suicide, because, you know, that seems to be on the upswing mm-hmm. in our society today, all over the world.
Yep. And one thing I don't like, a lot of people, you know, and I'm going to say this, and I might get some backlash for it. A lot of people say they have PTSD, you know, post-traumatic syndrome. I guess we all do. You know what I mean? But people default to that. I don't like when people just default to certain things. Well, I can act like this because I got this, or I'm bipolar, so I can act like this.
Right.
Like, first of all, stop claiming that stuff. You
true,
know what I'm saying?
True.
Stop claiming it. Two, let's have some common sense. Let's work it out. You know what I'm saying? Let's figure out what the problem is.
Right, right.
And work it out. Some problems aren't going to be as easy as 1 + 1 = 2.
Right.
Sometimes you got to find the square root and all that craziness, you know, to get the answer. You got to have different variables. But I just don't like when people default and just say, I'm okay because somebody said I'm this.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. You don't have to claim it.
Yeah, I got ADHD. I got ADHD, so I'm allowed to just be wild. And no, you mm. want to talk to focus. First of all, the brain doesn't multitask. It
right.
focuses in small spurts. You taught your brain to focus in small spurts. Your problem is you haven't learned how to focus on a longer duration of time.
Okay.
Longer periods.
That's right.
There's no such thing as ADHD. because you don't. If you can multitask,
right.
That means I can be sitting here, writing, texting, mm-hmm. listening to you, answering your questions, and all that simultaneously without stopping. I can do that all.
Wow.
But no, we train our brain. Boom, boom. I'm here, 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 here. How do you become more focused? You eliminate distractions. Period. Period. So when I'm talking to people that's across from me,
mm-hmm.
sometimes I'll turn my phone over and I'll turn on silent.
Right.
Because I know if I even see my
light,
phone
yeah.
light up, my brain goes, yo.
Right, right.
What's
right.
that?
Automatic, yeah.
Automatically. So I'll turn it over. You eliminate distractions. That's how you focus more.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's so true. Boy. Happy Monday, everybody.
Yeah.
Happy Monday. Get out your pencils and your paper and take some notes, although we're almost off the air. But next, Tim has a spot every first Monday here on Voice of a People.
Yeah, thank you.
So he'll be back with some of this good information and wisdom and knowledge that he can share with us. But I guess it is about emotions and going through the COVID and going through the civil unrest and not knowing what's going on, the hurricanes, what they call those things where the earth just opened up and people fall through it.
Yeah, sinkholes.
Sinkholes,
yeah.
All that's going on at one time. Locusts here, swarming over Africa, eating up all the crops and all the food over there, and water tainted and can't drink that. Fires mm-hmm. all out in California, and mm-hmm. we are just running amok.
Yep.
You know, and no one said, what is the truth? Where are we? We need truth. What is the truth?
Yeah, man.
Is this real, or are we just imagining these things?
Yeah, and then, you know, just it's hard to decipher the truth because we're in the information age, and so now you got truth, but then you got a bunch of junk you got to cipher through, you know, so it makes
That's
it
true.
More complicated.
Yes, it does.
It makes it more complicated, you know. But
yeah.
I think if we, not to get all biblical, but pray for guidance, trust the process. I tell people all the time, listen,
right.
trust God's process. Trust the process.
Yeah.
It's not going to feel comfortable to you, but just I promise you, if you trust it.
Right, right.
You're going to get the answers you're looking for. You
right,
know?
Right.
And pray for guidance and all that, like all that stuff. Prayers. You say Sister Hatch and all those people, they prayed for you. Prayer is a powerful, powerful thing. It's
mm-hmm.
a weapon, and I feel like it's a weapon that's underutilized and it's underused, you know. And
true.
You know, and some people are lost, but we all need it. You know, some I feel like even throughout my years, just speaking on prayer, I felt like I didn't know how to pray for years, years and years and years. And, you know, God just told me, he said, just continue to talk to me. That's what the Spirit told me.
That's all
just
it is, I guess, huh? Yeah.
Yeah. You ain't got to have no long list or nothing. Just talk. Tell me what's on your mind. He already knows, you know.
Right.
But, you know.
Look for them 2-inch words, you know, mm-hmm. trying to make it all philosophical
yeah.
and, you know, like I got a 2 or 3 degrees, you know,
yeah.
trying to talk to God, you know. Help
yeah.
me, Lord. I need your help.
Yeah, yeah. Simply, you know, talk to him, ask for guidance, you know, And don't be afraid to ask God for something. He'll say yes or no or wait, you know, just like you do with your children.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
sometimes some things you ain't ready for right now. You just got to go through some more stuff.
Yeah. Sometimes he doesn't answer like right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, okay, Lord, you're not answering because I should know the answer, right?
Yeah.
I think we deal with that too. And he just like.
I need you to wait.
Yeah.
It's just like my daughter. Nope, wait. And she don't necessarily need to know why she has
True.
To wait.
True.
But I know. Or she need to wait, or it's not the right time.
That's true. Your dad.
Yeah.
She's still a
that's
child,
how I
you
that's
know.
How I relate.
She'll
that's
always be your child, yep. you know. Yeah.
And that's how I relate with God. I'm his child, so he'll do the same thing, same way
that's
I
true.
Talk to my son and daughter.
Right, right, mm-hmm. right. Wow. Well, you know, God is, he's a great God.
Always.
He's a good God, you know, and he loves us.
Dearly.
Where would we be without his love? Him giving up his life, you know, and I thought about that. I could not, it's just beyond our imagination how he put the sin of the world upon his body,
mm-hmm.
you know, to the point of blood, sweating blood.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine that?
No.
No. I'm so glad I don't have to, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
some dark
boy.
Stuff, you know
yeah,
I mean?
It is.
It's
yes, it
stuff.
Is. But believe it or not, Tim, we're out of time.
Always.
I have enjoyed this. Oh, wow. Thank I have you. Really enjoyed this today. And hopefully you have too. We are out of time. If you heard me just say, like I said, Tim will be back the first Monday of September. If not sooner, I might have to plug him in here another time. You've been listening to Linda Sims here on the Voice of a People on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. And don't forget, we will be on tomorrow. Till next time, stay blessed. Thank you.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LPFM, Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place. For guests like legendary ABC News correspondent Sam Donaldson.
Over the course of this program, we have had a lot of great guests on. We've had U Downs. We have had David Hartman. We have had Marvin Kalb and Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, Jesse Jackson. Just great people. People who are no longer with us. Tony Curtis and Phyllis Diller and Jane Meadows and all the great guests we've had over the last 5 years. But today, making a very special appearance with us is a gentleman who's been on before. He is an icon in the world of news without question. And my introduction is now over, long enough to say, here is Sam Donaldson. Sam, how are you?
Well, Scott, I'm pleased to be with you. I mean, you are persistent, you're smart. I understand that you've been on the air for 5 years. And I must tell you, I was a reporter in Washington for 52 years. The next 47 is the easiest. I mean, the first five was the hardest.
You know, it's interesting, Sam. I was talking to somebody the other day over a few radio stations. I've been doing this for 17 years, and boy, I'll tell you, it never gets old.
No, it never gets old, and it's always interesting if you are smart and if you keep up on the topics that people are interested in. And the list of guests you've had...
I can't...